it. All right, well, you get me. Yay. All right, let me pray and then we'll get after it. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. God, I just ask that that your words would be loud and clear and just give me wisdom and help me to speak your truth. In your name, amen. So today, I kind of thought I'd go to this place, whether the election went one way or the other. And I think it's just good timing to talk about the government and obedience. So today is the government and obedience. I'm going to share a couple key verses, a couple short stories, show you what obedience is, lies that hinder obedience, little summary and final thought and final verse. So that way you know where we're at. We're going to do key verses, short stories, what obedience is, lies that hinder obedience, summary, final thought, and final verse. So the key verses for today, the first one is Hebrews 13, 17. And then as you're looking up Hebrews 13, 17, you can also stick a finger in Romans 13, because we're going to go to that next. So it'll be Hebrews 13 and then Romans 13. And I love that, every once in a while, the Bible is, sometimes it can be, take a little bit to figure out what's going on, but there's a lot of times right there in the scripture, it's so clear. It's just like God's guide for dummies, and it works good. And this is pretty clear. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. And then Romans 13. It's going to be Romans 13, 1 through 7. All right, says this, Romans 13. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist, and then the Bruce International version includes President Obama, the sheriff, or HP you don't like, or Ranger Evan. Anyway, the authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. I'm going to give you a couple. Luke 16:10 Luke 16:10. And I'm going to give you a couple stories after this verse, or a couple verses. Luke 16:10 through 12 says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with little will also be dishonest." Let me start over. It'll sound a lot better in my mind if I do this. "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So if you've been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? So I tell a couple stories sometimes to kids to illustrate some of it and give a practical example. And I think it's good to do it, although it's a little dangerous, because I was telling the Ranger boys about righteousness and getting to heaven and how no one is righteous and stuff like that. And anyway, I was saying, "Well, I'm a pretty good person, and I do this," and they're like, "And I'm kind of baiting them into it," but they didn't even buy it. They said, "No, you're not. We remember that." And it was like a story when I told them when they're 7. They're like, "We remember that time you stole." So anyway, stories are good. Use them. It's a little dangerous. They are going to remember those stories really well. But yeah, they didn't buy it at all. And one of those stories that I don't know if I've told the Ranger boys, but it's a story, and you won't forget it, and it'll be a little embarrassing, but that's all right. So a while ago, I don't know, it was probably about 7 or 8 years ago, I was trapping, and I was, the fur prices were high, I was in a hurry, I wasn't patient to wait for legal bait, which is like a jackrabbit or something like that, and squirrels are not legal bait, and there was a few along the way, and I used them as bait, and lo and behold, Chris caught me. And I was gonna fix my little error, but he got to me before I got that little error fixed, and I got fined. And I got fined a lot of money. It was $400 for using a squirrel as bait. But I always talk about, he who's faithful with little will be faithful with much. And it's just a little squirrel or whatever this little law is. That's the law. And that was the rules. And I broke the rules. Another story that a lot of people like to hear is about Ranger Evan in the Bighorns. And many of you have already heard it, but it was a long time ago. We were camping by a lake, and we were camping too close to the lake, and kids were cutting down green willows, and some kids weren't burying their stuff the way it should be buried. And I mean, this whole list that thoroughly annoyed Ranger Evan. And anyway, he chased us down and fined us. When you go to, now it's quite a bit worse. When you go to the Cloud Peak Wilderness, they have a crazy laundry list of rules. And I'll tell you this, and I tell you this actually from the pulpit, just so that you will remember, and not very many times do you get to talk about poop from the pulpit, but I will. And I promise you won't forget it. One of the laws in the Cloud Peak Wilderness is you have to pack it out. Like, you can't just bury it under a rock. There's parts of the Cloud Peak Wilderness that You have to do that. And so you're like, man, this is a stupid law. This is crazy. And I actually haven't gone into that area of the wilderness since then because I don't want to obey that law. And I'm thinking, all right, well, what happens if you had like biscuits and gravy before you went up? Like, how's that going to go? And like I'm just thinking through all the things like, oh man, this is a dumb law. Man, this is dumb. But it is a law. And there's a lot of those. And we weren't in that area of Cloud Peak Wilderness, but I did take a big group up there. And it is a good opportunity to talk to people about some crazy laws that maybe you think you should or you shouldn't obey. They were established there by God. They're over us, and we're to obey them, whether they're silly or not. They don't fine you if you obey the law, whether you think it's a silly law or not. My righteousness and salvation and salvation of others doesn't depend on this crazy law. But it's always just a great opportunity to tell people, hey, yeah, these laws are crazy, but we're going to obey them because they're not going to bug us if we obey them. So, I will get to the part where we get to rebel and just break the law, and it's going to be fun. But there's that little section in this sermon is really short, unfortunately. But we'll talk about what obedience is. Obedience is the first tangible, real, hard evidence of faith. Obedience is what brings freedom. Obedience is where love is born. Obedience sparks the fires of joy. Obedience does not make anyone righteous. It reveals faith. Obedience, it's the first real, tangible, hard evidence of faith. What do you believe in? What are you going to put your bet on? I mean, if you go to a horse race and you say, oh, yeah, I believe in Sir Fast a Lot or whatever horse it is. But I don't really believe in this horse. But you put your bet on the other horse. It shows what you believe in. What are you going to put your money on? What are you going to put your faith on? I mean, it's pretty evident where your faith is when you start obeying some rules and not other rules, or you obey all the rules. It shows where your faith is. In Daniel 6:27, he put his bet on the Lord. He said in Daniel 6:27, Nebuchadnezzar said this: he delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. And what did David say? David was very, very successful in battle. What did he say in Psalm 44:6? I said, I put no trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory. But you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. Obedience. Obedience is what brings freedom. Jesus said in John 8:31-32. Okay, I'm going to do John 8:31-32 and then Romans 6:15. So 1 John and not 1 John, but first I'm going to read John 8:31 and then Romans 6. Obedience is what brings us freedom. Jesus said this: if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And Romans 6 is, Romans 6 is just like the mic drop on obedience here. Romans 6:15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. Make no mistake, obedience is what brings freedom. Obedience, it's where love is born. One of my new favorite verses, I love this. 1 Timothy 1:5. Says, love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. A lot of people think that they can muster up the courage, or if they really like somebody or they desire someone really strong, they can love them. But that is where love comes from. Love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. A burning passion is not a reliable indicator of love. Doing what's right is. Psalm 119:32, I will run the course of your commands, for you will enlarge my heart. When we start obeying God, he will enlarge our heart for love, our love for other people, as we obey his commands. Obedience sparks the fires of joy. Psalm 119:7. I'm going to go to Hebrews 12:1-3 when I get done with Psalm 119. Obedience sparks the fires of joy. Psalm 119:7 says, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. Hebrews 12:1-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Obedience is we're still under, you know, obedience sparks the fire of joy. And speaking of that, of the joy of obedience, I would much rather the joy of obedience than the guilt of victory I didn't deserve. Obedience does not make anyone righteousness. It reveals faith. We're going to be in Romans 3, starting 3:20. Obedience does not make anyone righteousness. It reveals faith. Romans 3:20. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. And then down in verse 22, it'll say, this righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So obedience does not make you righteousness. But look at verse 28. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Then down at verse 31, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. And James says, I will show you my faith by what I do. All right, we're going to go to the lies, some roadblocks to obedience. The five lies something that Jack taught and that his pastor in Texas, Harold Bullock, taught. And they're good. It's five lies. Five lies to obedience. I'm too tired. It's not fair. I'm the only one. It's too hard. It's not what I want. Define the lies or excuses and combat them with the truth. I'm too tired. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Next lie is, it's not fair. Andrew knows this one well because I do this all the time. It's not fair. Remember Joseph and how he was mistreated by his brothers. Now, he was a little punk talking to his brothers saying, hey, y'all are going to bow down to me. But it probably wasn't quite. I mean, maybe they should have roughed him up a little bit, but he probably didn't quite deserve, you know, beaten, thrown in a pit, and sold into slavery. I think that's a little on the deep end. And then when he got there, it wasn't fair that he was working for Potiphar's wife. It wasn't fair that she accused him of something that he didn't do and he was thrown in prison. It wasn't fair that he told his fellow cupbearer, like, hey, remember me. It wasn't fair that he forgot him. It wasn't fair for him, but he realized that God had something else in plan. Genesis 50:20 said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. What is now being done, the saving of many lives. That's a great verse to remember when you're feeling it's not fair. The other one is, the third one. I'm the only one. You could go to Romans 11 for that one. I'm the only one. And I think if somebody was after me to kill me, I wouldn't be so funny about this, but it is a pretty nice whiner passage that Elijah was kind of whining about what was going on and saying, I'm the only one. Remember this when you are thinking that lie. I'm the only one. Romans 11, starting halfway through verse 2 through 4. Don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? How he appealed to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left. And they are trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Well, that one's kind of like, well, I'm the only one. Well, no, actually, there's 7,000. It's too hard. It's too hard. Too difficult. That's a lie that comes up quite a bit when we try to get out of things. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Yeah. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Fifth lie, it's not what I want. It's not what I want. Luke 22:42, Jesus saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. In Luke 1:38, after an angel came to Mary, telling her about what was going on. And it's probably not what she imagined, what she had wanted. But she said this, and Mary said, "Behold, I am servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel left her. So, all this obedience stuff, when do we get to rebel? Break the rules, follow our hearts, live free from the red tape and regulations? Well, not very stinking often. Unfortunately, here's a couple of good examples of rebelling. Go to Daniel 3. Daniel 3, 16. Daniel 3, 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Daniel disobeyed the rules of praying to anyone but Nebuchadnezzar. And he got in the lion's den for that, but God rescued him. Peter and John, Acts 4. You can go there. It's a little bit longer passage. Acts 4, 18 through 20. So pay attention to these examples of rebellion, because there's not really very many of them in the Bible. Peter and John, Acts 4, 18 through 20. "Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard.'" And remember what Jesus said to Pilate in John 19, 11. "You would have no power over me if it were not given from above. Therefore, the one who has handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." Remember, I'm kind of going to reiterate this key verse at the end. The reason why you want to obey is because you're accountable to God, but also your leaders are accountable to God. And so when you know that your leader is harsh and his rules are stupid, you know he's accountable to God, and you are too. So you can obey him and know that he doesn't have to answer to you, because he somehow has this unjust rule that you don't like. He doesn't have to answer to you. You have to answer to God, and he has to answer to God. He has to answer to someone far greater than you. So if you bear under the pressure and you obey, just know that your leader is accountable to God, not to you. And that's better. That's a lot bigger than you. So remember that. Remember Hebrews 13, 17. "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." All right, this is sweet. We're going to have potluck, and we're going to get out before all sorts of other people. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to just review what we did, final thought and a verse, and we'll be done. We went over stories of Ranger Evan and Cloud Peak rules. In the Bruce International Version, it says, he who is faithful with squirrels will be faithful with much. And obedience is the first real, tangible, hard evidence of faith. Obedience is where love is born. Obedience is what brings freedom. Obedience sparks the fires of joy. Obedience does not make anyone righteous. It reveals faith. Five lies that hinder obedience. I'm too tired. It's not fair. I'm the only one. It's too hard. It's not what I want. We don't get very many opportunities to rebel. When you do, remember that they must give an account, and you must give an account. In a world that's full of itself, full of the follow your heart philosophy, and says you need to do what's best for you, dare to rebel and buck the system. Dare to obey. Dare to follow the rules. John 8:31-32. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Yeah. I'll pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. God, just give us the wisdom to obey and to understand the joy and freedom that comes from obedience. We thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen.